What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of Gig'em Roundtable, brought to you by Gig'em 24/7 Sports. We have another week two edition, really jam-packed with a lot of recruiting intel. Texas A&M getting ready to host Arizona State at Kyle Field in the red, white, and blue game, so that's going to be really fun, and we're going to touch on that. But I am Tony Catalina alongside Kate Drawn, Jackson DePasquale, two of the best recruiting guys in the business, no doubt about it. Kate, first off, man, how you been? I haven't seen you in, what, 3 days? And that's usually a lot for us.
Yeah, man, just kind of recouping from the weekend that was, you know, two high school games in a row and then a Kyle Field showdown on Saturday. Just kind of doing some resting, doing some work from home. But I'm ready, geared up to do it again.
For sure. And Jackson, obviously you've been holding it down in Houston as well. What's it been like for you, man? You've been a busy guy.
Yeah, it was a busy I went to my fifth game in 2 weeks, went to two last week, had some interesting scores at the first one going to Randall and Westfield, 3-0 was the final score there. So not normal to seeing that type of score in any type of football regardless. And then Friday I had a great game with CE King and Cy Ranch. That was exciting. So that was fun. Went to a college game on Saturday, but excited for this week. Get over to Kyle Field, get back in College Station on Saturday. And then I've got two big games that I know we'll talk about later in the show.
Yeah, for sure. And a great segue to that, Jackson. For everybody listening, anybody, if you're listening to live, thank you. If you're reading or listening to the podcast, please subscribe and like and all that. I appreciate it. Me, Kate, and Jackson will all be at Kyle Field Saturday. So we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage. We're going to have everything jam-packed. Tarp will be not there, but he's going to be working too. So all four of us, all hands on deck with three on assignment there. So really excited stuff. This is the big game. First test for A&M. Going to be hot as a mug, though. I know that's going to be cooking. So luckily we'll be in the press box if we're not taking photos and getting intel on the field. But before that, speaking of intel, kind of want to segue into it. Week one. Ton of talent showed up on the recruiting side for this A&M Missouri State game. Want to put a bow on it, Cade. Want to start with you. What is kind of the voices, what are the things you're hearing out of week one? What were some of the things that the recruits were saying after that game that everybody was obviously jam-packed into Kyle for?
Yeah, it was definitely a successful recruiting weekend for Texas A&M football. First game of the season and, you know, against an opponent like Missouri State, to have it loaded with 150 recruits, a lot of them top-tier recruits, that's pretty impressive. You know, it's not just a recruit trying to come in to watch an SEC showdown or a ranked matchup, just a good football game. No, like most of these kids were coming in to check out Kyle Field, to check out Texas A&M. And, you know, they had most of their commits, their 27 and all of their 28, but most of their 27 commits on campus. I had a couple clips there on the sideline pregame of them arriving and them sitting or standing in the 50-yard line, watching, you know, looking up at the lights, seeing Kyle Field, seeing, you know, the program operate and go through pregame. And just, it was pretty cool to see that, because you can imagine, you know, in their shoes, they're probably thinking, you know, this is going to be my future. This is what I'm going to have in the next couple months, January, when they all get on campus. So they all had great things to say about it. I think, you know, it's just one further thing to reassure that they made the right choice. You know, they've seen Kyle Field before. They've seen what it looks like, and they know what they're in for. And you know, obviously, they had a very successful recruiting weekend in terms of the 28 targets. They had a lot of in-state guys that they're going at, as well as, you know, the 29, just laying the groundwork, laying the root-level work that it takes to land, you know, the commits in that class. You know, guys like Jayshon Mitchell, running back out of San Antonio Brennan, you know, came away pretty impressed with Kyle Field. Ty McCurry, offensive lineman out of South Lake Carroll, gave me a great quote that you can see on my Twitter. Just basically saying that, you know, A&M is up there for him. So that's definitely one to check in on. Carter St. Junius, I'll talk about him a little bit later on. I went to his game as well. You know, he had great things to say about Kyle Field. You know, and even the Taylor twins at Keller Central, Isaiah and Jeremiah. Those two had a great time at Kyle Field. You know, Logan Lucero, the 29 quarterback, Ty Snell, the 29 quarterback at Allen. Those guys had great times. And yeah, just ultimately, you know, no commits out of the weekend, but there was a lot of groundwork laid this week that you might see turn into additions down the line. It was overall a very successful recruiting, very successful overall night for Texas A&M football. Go out there, handle business 50-0 against Missouri State, a team you're supposed to beat, and then show this elite level experience that you're going to get at Kyle Field to some of these future recruits and future stars. So Derek Miller, Mike Elko, and the program knocked it out of the park this weekend.
And obviously, Jackson, you had some Houston Cougar stuff on Saturday you had to take care of for the 24/7 site over there. But you had a busy weekend on the high school trail. So I wanted to touch on some of the things you saw this weekend. I know you saw some really good talent in the greater Houston area. So kind of tell us where you saw and what kind of shook out last weekend for you.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a lot about Cy Ranch and kind of a lot of 28, 29 guys they got. Armani Edwards, who we've talked about a few times here, and I know Cade's talked to him. I've talked to him. He's going to be coming to College Station October 3rd for the Arkansas game. He confirmed that with me. I believe he's going to Texas Ohio State this week. He went to LSU this past weekend. So A&M's going up against some top competition there. I think they're in a good spot with him as well. But he confirmed that date with me that he will be in town that weekend. Also got to see Antonio Murray, one of the top 2029 safety recruits, defensive back recruits in the country. He was awesome throughout that game against a really talented CE King wide receiver core. When you talk about having to go up against Dylan Mitchell, another A&M target, Braylon Lane, who's an Iowa State commit, Aubrey Johnson, who's a Memphis commit. So really liked seeing him in person on the varsity level for the first time. I think he's going to be a guy that we could see go on a game day visit here pretty soon to College Station. So I'm excited to see him down the road and to kind of see how his recruitment develops. I don't believe, Cade, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe he has an offer from A&M to report as of yet. But I expect A&M to be a school that jumps in on him, because I think this is a guy, when we look in the spring, is going to be a guy that has north of 20 offers. So really was pleased with watching him, getting to talk to him after the game. Just kind of those guys were the main guys I was able to talk to. I think Dylan Mitchell I will be able to talk to whenever we talk about the games that I'll be going to this week. Certain cases, and Cade will kind of talk about this too, whenever a team loses, it's kind of hard to talk to kids after a game. So I'm hoping CE King gets a win this week. Looking forward to talking to Dylan and talking with his dad and kind of seeing what their plan is for his visit schedule. So that's kind of on the docket for me. But just came away really impressed with Armani Edwards and Antonio Murray throughout the week at the game. And then Dylan Mitchell didn't really get too much run as far as didn't really have any explosive plays in that game. So excited to kind of maybe see that this week.
And obviously, Cade, you were on the road too, hitting some high school games. I believe it was Thursday and Friday you were out there. Kind of touch on what you saw this weekend and maybe some of your biggest takeaways.
Yeah, so Thursday was Shadow Creek Ridge Point, two of the most talent-rich programs in Houston. I was out there, got to see number one ranked overall player in Texas, Jalen Adai, who was at LSU this weekend. His dad famously played at LSU and won a national championship there, so that's a program to watch for him. But he will be at Texas A&M for a game day this season. He's an unreal player. I mean, it's just the fluidity that he plays with, the fundamentals that he has at this age is it's ridiculous. I had a clip that I posted of him scoring a touchdown, and if he catches the ball past the line of scrimmage and he's got a little bit of room, he can really make you, he can make you miss. It looks like he's on skis out there, just the fluidity and smoothness of how he moves. Really came away extremely impressed with Jalen Adai. I think that number one ranking is well warranted for him. And then after the game, I got to speak to Braden Bonick at Ridge Point, who was in town this weekend or last weekend in College Station. He actually mentioned Michigan and Notre Dame as two schools that were really standing out to him. So he could be an out-of-state guy. His dad played football at Oklahoma State and coached in the NFL for 11 years. So he's a kid that's been bouncing around the country a little bit. So I would definitely look for that to be a theme in his recruitment. But overall, you know, good game. Ridge Point came out and dominated. They've had a great start to the season, 2-0 against, two really good programs in the Houston area. So a lot of talent on Thursday. I was really impressed with what I saw. And then Friday I was ultimately at Manville versus Iowa Colony. It was a blowout for Manville, but I was there to see Carter St. Junius, who was also in town last weekend. He's a kid, you know, he's affiliated with Fast Houston, ran by Rose Simon, who has a lot of Texas A&M ties. And just getting the feeling, you know, speaking to him, it seems like Texas A&M is pretty high on his list. We'll see ultimately, you know, how that develops with him and the staff as things move along. But it seems the sense that I get is that if Texas A&M puts the pedal down and puts a push on him, they'll be in a good spot to ultimately land him. We'll see if that ultimately happens. There's some other programs that are going to be in the mix there. Texas, Arizona State, Nebraska, those names as well. But really, shocker, another talented player in that southwest sector of Houston yet again. And then I also saw Brayson Robinson, Manville Edge, also was in town last weekend. He was really impressive. Iowa Colony didn't really have a whole lot of players that could, you know, match up with him. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily the fairest matchup. And SMU is a program. SMU and Texas A&M are both programs that I'm heavily watching when it comes to Brayson Robinson. So, you know, great first week of Texas football coverage for us. And we've got, you know, some stuff coming up here this weekend as well.
Perfect. And obviously, I want to stay with you because I know you got some intel on Zachary Johnson. I believe if I butchered his name, I know he spells it differently. But I know you got some intel there. I know there's some A&M interest, some A&M stuff going on. So what is the latest there, Cade?
Yeah, so Zachary Johnson.
Zachary.
So he was a visitor. He is a Florida State commit currently. He was in town last weekend for the Missouri State game. I want to shout out our own Zach Blostein, who is our national guy out there in Florida. He's one of the best in the industry. He's been killing it, a superstar in this industry. He was the one to break that Zachary was going to come to Texas A&M for the Missouri State matchup, and also got an interview with him that he posted today on the site. So definitely go check that out. It's great intel. But essentially, after Zachary's visit in terms of where Texas A&M stands, I know that there's other people around our industry that are kind of pushing, like, you know, this is headed towards a flip, that this is going to happen. However, I'm not ready to go there yet. I think, you know, Texas A&M certainly covets him, there has been some conversation about him potentially scheduling an official visit to return to Texas A&M, but that hasn't happened yet. The sense that I get is that, you know, it's definitely possible that he'll flip from Florida State. You know, obviously, you know, things are going on at Florida State with Mike Norvell and just the state of the program. You don't know what it's going to look like by the end of the year. There could be some turnover. There's definitely an opportunity that Texas A&M and other programs saw to go in there and try to go after one of their guys with a little bit of uncertainty. But, you know, there are other programs that are involved in this Zachary Johnson recruitment, Miami being one of them. He's going to be in at Miami this weekend. So I would definitely keep an eye on that. After that visit, you might have a better idea of, you know, where Texas A&M stands. At that point, you know, the question you're going to be asking is he going to come back for an official visit? If that happens, then I think you could start seeing some smoke. Is it possible that he ends up in A&M's class? Absolutely. Is it possible that he flips to another program? Absolutely. I think it's a little bit of a fluid situation right now, and definitely something that we will be monitoring over the next couple weeks.
For sure. Obviously, great intel. Like you said, Blostein got some great information there, and you added some good color to that, because this is something we're going to monitor. Like you said, the Florida State situation, so fluid. You got to think a lot of those Florida kids who are in the mix there with the, you know, with the Noles. Who knows what could end up happening, especially with a kid as talented as that. Guys, before we kind of switch gears, the 75% is over. So if you're here and you didn't take advantage of that, sorry, right? Like, the 75% offer was the best offer we had. But don't, right now, if you go, I believe it's 50% off. The last thing I heard was they moved it down to 50% off. You're still going to get a great deal. Want to tap in. I don't even know if there's a code for it, but if you go in there and link, it'll be 50% off. So go ahead and look. And before I switch gears, Jackson, now that we're talking about, we did last week, We did some of the intel. Let's move forward, right? We got a big football game at Caulfield this weekend, and we got a ton of high school action that you guys will both be at. So, Jackson, set the table, set the stage for us. Where are you going to be this weekend? Where's the players' high school games you're going to be at?
Yeah, so starting with Thursday, I'm going to be at Willis versus Westfield. Very, very excited to go to that game. You're going to have a high-flying Willis offense versus a very, very good Westfield defense. The player that I'm really going to be watching is Link Frazier, 2029 recruit who we talked about it before. He's a legacy at Texas A&M. I think he's a guy, though A&M is really high on Logan Lucero, I think that Link Frazier is a guy that you could see A&M offer down the road. I believe he's going to visit this upcoming weekend as well. So I'm excited to see him, excited to talk to him after the game and kind of just get some insight on where his recruitment is at, what he's looking forward to about coming to Kyle Field. Also, Trey Finney is another guy that has moved around a little bit in his high school career. He's a junior there at Willis. Excited to watch him. He's going to be an explosive playmaker that I think you could see potentially A&M start to move a little bit more into his recruitment. On the Westfield side, a lot of their guys are committed, but I really do like Devon Smith, the linebacker. He's right now he's committed to Arizona. He's a guy that I think is a little underrated in throughout the city and in the state. So I'm excited to watch him play. I got to watch him play against Randall last week, but that's my Thursday game. Friday, I'll be back watching CE King against College Park. This is a big time matchup in the city. Really excited to watch RJ Wims, who I've talked about before. He came up to College Station this past weekend, one of the top defensive linemen in the country. Also excited to watch James Scare, who will be playing both defensive end and tight end. He's a guy who A&M offered at camp this summer. So excited to watch him play, potentially catch up with him after the game. But I'm really excited to watch Dylan Mitchell. I want to watch the explosive plays that he's able to make. Definitely looking forward to that and getting into conversation with him because, you know, a lot of people haven't been able to talk to him since the spring and track season. So excited to get an update with him, see when he's coming to College Station. He's going to be a guy that the A&M is really pushing for, you know, throughout this fall and off season.
Sure. Obviously, Cade, you guys are both going to be crazy busy. Two games plus the Kyle Field on Saturday. You guys are going to be grinding. He talked about it, Jackson. Now, where are you going to be this weekend? I know you got some big things on tap as well.
Yeah, so tomorrow I will be at Kingwood versus Deer Park. I'll be over there to see Kingwood offensive lineman Kennedy Brown, who's committed to Texas A&M. It'll be interesting to see how he experienced Kyle Field last weekend, and just ultimately, you know, where he feels, you know, in his recruitment. And then Friday I will be at Fort Bend Travis versus Cy Falls to see Cy Falls edge rusher Caden McCarty. Who's been one of the vocal leaders of this, you know, Texas A&M class. I mean, he's just about as part of the program as you can be not being on the roster. You know, like I saw him after the Missouri State game, you know, doing the Aggie War Hymn. You know, like he's in the mix. And he's always a great interview, always great to speak to. So it'll be fun to go down there, see him wreck shop and ultimately get an update on him and how he's doing and everything of that nature. And then it's going to be a quick turnaround, you know, Friday night game to 11 a.m. kickoff in College Station. It's going to be a quick turnaround, but I'm excited for it.
For sure. Obviously, you guys are going to be grinding. We all got our own different types of grind, but I really do respect the work you guys put in. It's Thursday game, Friday game, and now it's Saturday, especially in the morning. I don't know about y'all, but I'll be at Kyle Field about 8 a.m., and that's an early, early wake-up call. And with that, obviously, the 11 a.m. kick, going to be hot. It's a big game. But, Cade, I know you got some intel and some names that are going to be there for recruit and visitors. What do you got, and what can you tell us about who is going to be there on Saturday?
Yeah, I have a few confirmed. You know, we will be having more content from now until game day. So definitely keep checking in on the site. We'll have a little bit more names put out there. But as of right now, the commits that we know are coming are from IMG Academy, Zyron Forstall, your five-star edge rusher, Eric McFarlane, fringe high four-star, you know, potential five-star down the line receiver. In your class, they have a bye week. So, you know, they, they both will be there, as well as some of the underclassmen at IMG that A&M has offered and is going to be targeting. You know, one example is Andre Alexander, a guy that, you know, was at camp. We saw Travis Williams, you know, put a lot of energy and effort into him, you know, when he was at camp. So that's one to definitely watch out for. Then offensive lineman Major Green is also going to be there from IMG Academy. And then Caden Henderson will be there. You know, he told me when I was over in Florida that he was going to try to make it to every home game. Well, he's you know, tracking to go 2 for 2 here this weekend. So excited to see him there. And then, of course, Caden McCarty, you know, he's always going to be around. So I expect Caden McCarty in Aggieland this weekend. One name that I have confirmed that I'm kind of intrigued about is 2027 Iowa Colony edge rusher, a really defensive lineman. You can move him around at a bunch of different spots, Charles Egbo. When I went down there on Friday to watch Iowa Colony, I talked to Coach Garza, the head coach over there, and he told me that they were still, you know, evaluating and looking at Egbo, and that Egbo is supposed to be in the 2028 class. So he's a grade above what his actual age is. So that might be factoring into, you know, the development process and the potential that the A&M staff sees with him. And, you know, he's got some size. You can definitely see that. And he actually came to Texas A&M's football camp this summer as well. He was the second 2027 that was committed to another place that ultimately ended up going to camp. The other was Raiden Cook out of Barbers Hill, committed to U of H. So just interesting, you know, just to put those two pieces together. He's going to be showing up again at Kyle Field. So just something to monitor, you know, moving forward. He's currently committed to Texas State. So we'll see how that ultimately goes. But, yeah, those are some of the names that we've been able to confirm. Also, Royce Bimage at Dickinson. His brother plays at Arizona State, going to watch his brother. But Texas A&M fully, you know, in his recruitment as well. And then Carson Lacombe. Absolute baller of a receiver at San Antonio Piper, who was at LSU last weekend. He's got a loaded visit schedule. I love that A&M's on there because he's a real deal player.
For sure. And obviously, Jackson, before we flip gears and start to talk about A&M versus Arizona State, you hear those names. What are some that kind of stand out to you, and just how important is it to get those guys that you really kind of covet on campus?
Yeah, I think Royce Bimage is one. I got to talk to him. I know we talked about it in a previous podcast, but I got to talk to him right before the season started at a training session. I talked to his dad a lot. And while he is going because his brother is playing for Arizona State, his dad did assure me they are sitting on the Texas A&M side. They will be in the recruiting section. This is a kid who's really high, and his family's really high on Texas A&M. I think he's a kid that – like Cade was saying about Carter St. Junius, if A&M puts the pedal to the metal on this kid, I think you could very well see him end up in the 28 class. He's a guy I'll be monitoring. I'm excited to talk to him following the game to get a reaction from him and get a little bit more of an update with him. But he's a guy I'll be watching, as well as, like Cade was saying, Andre Alexander and Carson Lacombe. I think those are two guys that you're going to see A&M really start to make a strong push for this fall as they head into the off season. So those are three of the main guys I'm going to be watching. Also, just kind of a sleeper guy that I know we'll be visiting this weekend that hasn't been offered by Texas A&M, but is kind of an intriguing prospect that's visiting. And that's going to be Lake Creek 2028 tight end Logan Woods. You know, he's a 6'5", 220-pound tight end. A&M's been kind of in communication with him since the offseason. So just a guy to monitor. I know they've already offered two tight ends in that class, in that 2028 class, but just a kid to maybe monitor. And it could be a kid that, you know, staff hasn't seen in person yet and they need to size him up, and you never know what can happen after that.
For sure. And obviously, guys, this great intel, both Cade and Jackson giving us a lot of good scoop. Two games apiece for them on Thursday and Friday, and then they both will be at Kyle Field with me for Texas A&M, Arizona State. Make sure you guys are following them on Twitter. Make sure you're reading their stuff on the site. Nobody's doing better. I can say that confidently. I know these guys are grinding. I know the work they put in. So I put a pin on that. Let's put a pin in it. Recruiting segment, half of the show done. Let's turn the page. Number 10, Texas A&M versus Arizona State. Both started 1-0. Both had really impressive week one showings. And before I kind of jump into this, I hadn't prepped you guys about this. And I want to start with you, Cade, real quick. A&M wins 50-0 and drops two spots in the polls. Is that BS, or what's your thoughts on that? Because when I saw it, it was a little bit of a head scratcher for me.
No, it was certainly a head scratcher because A&M didn't do anything last Saturday that I think warranted a drop in general, but a drop two spots. I know some of those schools that are above A&M on that list had good weeks, but I don't think A&M did anything to where they deserved a drop at all. I mean, obviously, the first half was a little rocky, but it's not like they gave up scores or anything or turned the ball over besides the Horton fumble. But in terms of when you look at the whole – the whole result of a 50-0 win against a team that you're supposed to beat, I don't see how that correlates to dropping two spots. But then again, it's early in the season. Ultimately, if they win against the opponent that's in front of them, all this will take care of itself. So,
yeah, for sure. To Cade's point, Jackson, it's early, so it doesn't really matter, right? It's more conversation. And ultimately, when the CFP committee comes together at the end of the year, that's what will matter. But when you see what I've seen people talk about is the LSU win, and that was impressive, right? The way they handled Clemson was a beatdown. So I understand them getting some shift up. But I see a lot of people talking about the Ole Miss win, like that was super impressive. Now, I like Trinidad Chambliss. I think he's an outstanding quarterback. But that Ole Miss defense felt like Swiss cheese. So are you with me? Do you think that this was a little absurd to knock them down too, or do you understand the reasoning behind it?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I remember when I saw it yesterday, I was a little shocked that they dropped two spots after winning. Like you said, you won a game 50-0. I don't know what you could have seen in the game to make you feel like, all right, they deserve to drop two spots. But LSU jumping them, I get it. It was a primetime game. It was against a team that's won a national championship in the past decade. Like, I get it. The Ole Miss game, though, I mean, Ole Miss was tight. And like, there were points that Louisville looked like they were going to take that game. And I agree with you that I do think it's a little odd that they dropped two spots. Again, I don't think it'll really matter down the line. Once you get into conference play, there's going to be lots of games against ranked opponents that you're going to be able to move up and down for that matter, either way. But I think it was a little odd for them to drop two spots week one after winning 50-0.
For sure. And obviously, I guess that wasn't in the show rundown, but when I saw it, I'm like, I got to get their take on it because this seems absurd to me. Another thing that wasn't on the rundown was a stat I was looking at when I was doing my research. Arizona State, I don't know if you guys saw this tweet or if you saw it. Arizona State hasn't played in front of a crowd of 100 plus people in like 29 years. Right. And I know there was an Arizona State player who was kind of downplaying it on social media this week that the crowd will be that much of a factor. I don't know if they got the right to say that, right? Like, you've never played in front of a crowd like this, and now you challenge a Kyle Field fandom that will make this their whole purpose for yelling all day, right? Like, so I just don't understand that thought process. But to you, Cade, I'll start with you. And you guys, you obviously went to A&M. You both went to A&M, so you guys understand it. And maybe there's a little bias here, but I'm okay with that. Does the Kyle Field crowd and the reputation they have, is the credit – do, is it worth what they say? Does it really make a difference in your mind when people come in this stadium and have to face that crowd in this team?
I think absolutely. I mean, anybody who's been at Kyle Field in a big game, like, it's one of the best environments in the country. And people might say I'm biased because I went there, but I mean, it's true. I mean, if you've been there, and I think it's especially going to be important this week, given, just because it's an 11 a.m. kick does not mean that it's not going to be filled with 100,000 people. A&M fans will be there in scorching heat or sleet and snow. Like, they will, nothing's going to stop them if there's a game being played at Kyle Field, going there and yelling the whole time, standing the whole time. I think it's going to definitely play a factor. And I believe it's the first time Arizona State has played at Kyle Field, period. Certainly, this group that they have here with Kenny Dillingham. But I think it's going to be one of the main factors of the game outside of, what's happening on the field matchup-wise, what type of what type of plays are made in the game. I think Kyle Field is going to be one of the biggest reasons or one of the biggest factors for what happens on Saturday.
For sure. And obviously I have a limited view set. I'm only going into my third season covering the team. But for me, two games that stand out to me for this crowd making an absolute difference was the 2024 game against LSU when Marcel came in and kind of changed the whole trajectory of that team, really, in his career in that night. And then on a sadder note, but just the energy when they played Texas in 24, right? That was an atmosphere that I've never been able to wrap my head around in my life, right? Like that was some real hate. That was some real fatigue. And to your point, Cade, they've never played in Kyle Field. They've played one time before, 2015 at NRG Stadium. I think it was Deshaun Hall had four sacks and Myles Garrett had two. So an absolute beatdown as far as the trenches go. And so, Jackson, I want to put you on the spot. You've been to a ton of games. You're an A&M fan. You've been around it. What is the best game or maybe the loudest, lively crowd you've ever been around? I know you. I'm sure you got some stories.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of the bigger games, especially in my time in College Station when I was a student. I definitely think LSU in 24, I remember going to the game and thinking I was on the first deck and the band was right. LSU's band was right to our right. And I remember them, I could hear them playing, but I really couldn't. Like it was that loud to where you could not hear their band. Notre Dame was loud when they came into town. I felt like that stadium was loud. Clemson, when they were ranked number two and came in town during the Jimbo era, that was a loud game. Also, LSU 7 overtime was a great environment. I mean, I can go down the list, but I would say LSU 2024 was good. And then the year with Zach Calzada when they upset Bama, that was a loud stadium that day as well.
Sure. Yeah. Obviously, it's plenty more to come, right? I think what Mike Elko, the fan base is bought in, not like they weren't already, but they have something to really cheer for. They have a really quality team. Year three under his tutelage, it's impressive. And I think, you know, 107 plus, almost 108,000, the largest opening attendance ever. Like, that's insane to me. So, another point in this too, before we kind of switch and talk about some key matchups, I thought it was really interesting. I put it on Twitter. I didn't think so many people would respond to it, but Arizona State has to play A&M at 11 a.m., and then they have to fly to London after to go play Kansas across the pond. The 11 a.m. is one thing, but they're also 2 hours behind, and so this game is a 9 a.m. kick for them. If you got to arrive to the stadium for, you know, 2.5 hours, to them that's like a 4:30, 5 o'clock wake-up time. This is a weird scheduling thing for them because not only that, they got to turn around and they got a daunting flight to London. And from what I heard, they're flying out of Dallas. They're not even flying out of Houston, which is quicker. They're not flying out of, you know, College Station, which is right down the street. They're going to drive 2.5-3 hours to Dallas and then hop on a flight. So daunting scheduling thing, I thought it was pretty bizarre. We'll see how much of it has an impact because if you're talking about just on the field, they got enough to deal with. A&M is a tough team. I think we're going to learn a lot about this A&M football team on Saturday. But if you talk about the logistics and the things that aren't on the football field, and you talk about the crowd, it just seems like there's a lot that has to do with this game that isn't just about the football play on the field. And that's probably why A&M's a 14.5-point favorite in this game, if you look at that type of thing. So very interesting for me. Cade, I want to kind of switch gears. This is a team, Arizona State, that has two dynamic wide receivers, right? They have Reed Harris and they have Omarion Miller, two guys that are about 6'5 and 6'2 can really challenge what we think is a strength of this A&M team, which is the secondary. When you look at this team and these two teams, what is the matchup you think will be the key matchup for this matchup here?
I think it's going to be the Texas A&M defensive front versus Cutter Bowley. How much discomfort can you cause him? Because, you know, if you watch Arizona State's game last week, they put on a clinic. I mean, scored 70 points. They had three players have over 100 receiving yards. Bowley threw 6 touchdowns. Now, of course, it's Morgan State, right? Like, if you're a good player, a good team, you're supposed to do that against a program like Morgan State. Morgan State is not Texas A&M. But, you know, if you have that type of talent and the throws are there, he's proven he can do it. So if you're that Texas A&M defensive front, you know, guys like TJ Searcy, Anto Saka, Marco Jones, you know, CJ Mims, if you're able to cause problems for that offensive line and get in the backfield consistently, cause problems for Boley all game, I think that's going to go a long way to ultimately winning the game for Texas A&M. You want to keep that momentum that you had, you know, last week with that dominant defensive performance. You want to keep that going, and you want to make it easier on your defensive backs, because, you know, playing corner, playing defensive back is one of the hardest positions, one of the hardest groups on the football field. If you're able to, you know, get in the backfield and have less time for the quarterback to throw, that's going to help out the whole defense as a unit. And that's ultimately what I'm looking for, at least, you know, on the defensive side of the ball.
For sure. And obviously Jackson, that's what he says is dead on, right? If you get in the quarterback's face, makes life hard for him, it's only going to be advantageous. Now, I said, and I'll probably kind of giving it away what I'm thinking about, but do you feel the same way as Cade or as me? Where do you think the key matchup in this game is on Saturday?
Yeah, my key matchup is going to be, and I think it's going to be this until I get proven otherwise, it's going to be that A&M offensive line up front protecting Marcel Reed. He gave up 2 sacks against a Missouri State team who, no disrespect, I don't think you should be giving up any type of sacks when you have a quarterback like Marcel in the backfield. So I that's the matchup I want to watch, and mainly at guard. I think guard was kind of the weak spot last week whenever I was watching the game. So that's kind of the matchup that I'm really going to be focusing on, is just seeing that and I want to see this offense line get some big push and open up some holes to see explosive run plays. I think that's it for me, because I mean, you got to see flashes of the passing game last week. I think I'm not as concerned about that. I think it's mainly establishing that run game, getting explosive running plays, and then also protecting Marcel on the interior of the offense line.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I'm actually going to jump on that because that's mine. It's the running game versus the run defense, right? Like, we know, at least we understand what Marcel Reed can be and what he is when he's on fire. We saw what Isaiah Horton looks like. He's already looking like he's going to be a focal point of this offense, which I think if we've been paying attention and if you've been a subscriber, you know we've been saying that all summer. He's going to be a big part of this offense. And so for me, it's, what does this rushing attack look like? I know on the board, and I know everybody who's writing, they want KJ Edwards, they want Carson Baker, and they're ready to kind of move on from Reuben Owens. And I've kind of been holding the wall. Like, John,
think about how much life has changed since 1991. Back then, you had to rewind the VHS tapes. Dial-up internet was a distant dream, and listening to your favorite hosts on demand wasn't even an option. Yet through all that change, Bob's Discount Furniture has kept doing things the Bob's way, offering incredible quality and modern features without inflating their prices. Look at the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa. It packs genuine leather, Bobapedic seating, built-in charging, and handy cup holders all into one setup for just $12.99. For dinner parties, the Homeworks dining set brings clever storage in both the table and bench, keeping your space organized and guests comfy for only $6.99. Plus, their best-selling Cascade bedroom set brings sophisticated reeded details, felt-lined drawers, and convenient USB ports in 3 stunning finishes. It's proof that top-tier style doesn't need a sky-high price tag. Stop in or shop online at mybobs.com to celebrate 35 years of top-rated style at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Snow in Game of Thrones, man. I feel like I'm kind of been defending Reuben Owens' honor a little bit. I'm not saying he's going to be all pro. I'm not saying he's going to be all world. I'm not even saying he's going to be the greatest whatever. I just think that veteran presence there is so important, especially when you get a young stable. Jamarion Murrow is the second-year guy who hasn't really put the wear and tear and the beat up on his body. Same thing goes for KJ. Same thing goes for Carson. You need that Reuben piece. You need that guy who can go in there and fight through some yards. I think that veteran presence, that calmness really helps. Now I need to see it against a Power 4 competition, right? This is a good Arizona State team. They got defensive tackles who are NFL prospects. They got edge guys who should be getting drafted in April. So this is a real tough test. Now, again, to prove or kind of say my point again, this is a team that, you know, is going to be a problem as far as can you defend, right? Can you defend the pass? Can you defend the run? They got options. They got Carter Boley who cut it loose last week. So defensively, they're going to have their own challenges. But I think thinking bigger than just this week, A&M's running game, getting on track and being who they think or hope they can be with the offensive line, like you said, Jackson, is going to be paramount, right? Putting it on film. Putting it on film that you can put up 250 on Arizona State, right? Can you churn out a 100-yard rusher, a couple of tutties, and just figure out a way to just kind of lean on these guys? Because I have the same concerns you do, Jackson. Like, I saw Blake Ivey, who I've been singing the praises of all camp, have a couple of miscues and some mistakes that I'm like, oh, that's not great. We can't do that. I know it's, you know, we can't do that against anybody, never mind the week one opponent. So, and then Trevon Ball on the other side, a veteran presence, but does he have the foot speed? Is he strong? I know they're going to kind of mix and match, but the five they have out there, is that the best five? I think going out there and kind of leaning on them in a run game is a really good way to prove that that's who you are. Changing gears a little bit, right? We're going to stay on kind of key matchups in that, but I want to talk X factors. And I'll start with you, Jackson, because we went with Cade last time. Who is the one A&M player you're saying, hey, if this is what it's going to come down to, this guy has to ball out? The easy one is Marcel. Are you going to take that?
I'm going to go in the backfield, but I'm not going to go Marcel. I'm going to go Ruben. I think you got to have a breakout game here. I think this is your – everybody, and what's funny when you were talking about how everyone's kind of down on Ruben, it's funny because I felt like that was how everyone was about Le'Veon Moss when Ruben came in and everyone wanted Ruben to play, but I digress from that. I think that Ruben needs to have a big game, and I think he has the potential to have a big game. Like we said, I think it's all going to depend on how that offensive line does, and I'm expecting them to do better this week coming off of last week. But I think Ruben Owens is my X factor, whether that's running the ball or catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, to your point, I love that you kind of alluded to that, because my favorite thing that fans do is they love whoever the backup is, right? Like, I'm from – shout out Massachusetts. I love my hometown. Everyone wanted Miles O'Neal last year, right? Oh, Miles O'Neal. And then, you know, this year it's Brady Hart, Aaron Gregory, me, us three here could have hit him with that touchdown pass. You know, so it's just – doesn't matter. Whoever the number two is, they love him. Unless you're Myles Garrett or a Heisman Trophy winner, everyone wants the backup. Everyone clamors for the backup. So I'm glad you said that. I think there's going to come a moment this year where Ruben Owens is going to break out and people are going to be like, maybe I was wrong a little bit. I don't know if people do that on Twitter. I don't know if people say, hey, I was wrong. I don't know if that's in that, you know, in that world of thinking, but I think that will be a moment where that ends up happening. Cade, same question to you. Who's your X factor? Offense, defense, is it Marcel? Who do you got? Who's going to be a key piece of this A&M game this week?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the easy one, Marcel. And, you know, that coupled with the offensive line, the performance of that unit. But obviously Arizona State is going to be it's going to be tougher than Missouri State was. You're going to have more experienced and just overall – better, more talented players on that defense, in particular on that defensive line. So if you start having some issues on the offensive line like you did last week, how does Marcel respond to that? What does he look like? And ultimately, you know, what can he do to counteract that? And hopefully that's not an issue that ultimately happens. Hopefully those offensive line problems are nipped in the bud. But yeah, I just want to see Marcel come out. You know, last week, you know, 21 for 30, 233 yards and two touchdowns. Not bad. Not bad at all. But I'd like to see him come out and really, really dominate the game. You know, Elko talked about during this week's presser about, you know, Arizona State having NFL caliber corners on their roster. And I think that's going to be a test, you know, to try to get the ball to Isaiah Horton and Mario Craver. And I really just want him to see – I want to see him look comfortable. I want to see him, you know, put up a good stat line. But ultimately, I want to see Marcel contribute to putting a W on the scoreboard for Texas A&M.
For sure, and obviously it's a great point. And that's going to come out to the offensive line. I know Jackson was talking about it. And there was another piece to it, Ashton Funk, right? I mean, he's a guy that you want to talk on. What was that something you said he might be a key piece in this whole – you know, kind of, I know we were talking about the best five. Does he fit into that kind of mix for you, Jackson?
Well, I just thought it was interesting that he got listed on the depth chart this week at left guard. Whenever, you know, going through Elko's press conference, he talked about Blake Ivey and Tyler Thomas being two guys that in camp stood out to them, and they struggled in that game specifically. But seeing Ashton listed at guard was interesting to me because he wasn't prior to on week one's depth chart. He wasn't even on there. So I think that could be something to watch. I got to cover him in high school, so I know what he's done in high school. He's a big kid. He's going to be able to maul people, I think, on the interior. So I think that could be something to maybe watch out for, especially that rotation, I believe, at left guard it is with Blake Ivey, Tyler Thomas, and Funk, and then kind of seeing how Baugh does at right guard. But I think Funk being listed was something that I'm going to keep an eye on because I don't think he's listed for no reason this week.
For sure, and I think that's a great catch, and that's why I wanted you to kind of bring it up because I don't know if we figured out exactly what this offensive line is going to completely shake out. I think I know who the best five are, but ultimately the play on the field is going to tell the whole story, right? And I think when you get a guy like Robert Bourdon, who I think can play multiple positions, I think, you know, he's already a guy who's played tackle in football games. He's played guard. I think I've seen him playing some center in practice. Like, I don't know if there's a single position that Robert Bourdon can't play. So he's a guy who's, if we're talking in terms of NFL, he's the most swing tackle, swing guard you have. And then you talk about Lamont Rogers with a five-star pedigree, a guy who they really, really want to work out, right? This is somebody they really hope can be their starting tackle at some spot for the next 2 or 3 years going forward. So he's somebody else in there. You mentioned Funk, and then Colin Echols, who a lot of people thought was going to win the left guard spot, practicing some center, is a guard guy, has a lot of availability, right? Like, he has two, three years of eligibility left. He could be a huge piece of your future, right? So this is an offensive line that feels like an embarrassment of riches, but the problem that Adam Cushing and Mike Elko have is finding the right combination of five guys right now. So the talent isn't a problem. It's how can this cohesion work? Do these veteran guys work, or do we have to make the look at some of these younger cats? Because ultimately, they want to win football games. So I understand transfer portal, I understand NIL, but you got to put the best five guys out there. So we'll see how that shakes up, and I'm glad you brought that up, Jackson. Changing back to gears on my side of it, my X factor, we got Cade at Marcel, we got Jackson at Ruben Owens. I'm going to sit here and say the guy I did a feature story on last week and say Julio Humphrey. I think it's with this passing attack that, you know, Carter Bowley and Omarion Miller and Reed Harris, this is a passing attack that could be, and it sounds crazy to talk about it because they play in the SEC, could be one of the better passing attacks they have in the country. It almost, if Carter Bowley isn't who we think he is, or maybe he isn't as talented as maybe some people are, it could feel like Auburn when Jackson Arnold had Cam Coleman but just couldn't figure it out, had to get him the football. You got two guys that you're really going to contend with. So for me, Julio Humphrey will play a huge factor in this. We talk about how talented the secondary is. We talk about how good they are as a collective. Now, Julio Humphrey went out there and won himself a starting job this camp, right? Somebody who stepped in, said, I have a different demeanor, a different attitude. I want to go and win the job. And he did just that. So nothing but respect for that. Now, I do remember last week, Missouri State went at him on the very first play, and they tried to come at him a few more times, and to no avail. Obviously, that passing game was non-existent last week, but this is a much different animal, and these are two different cats that they're about to go against. So really want to see what Julio Humphrey can do. Now, this is a kid who has confidence. He has a kid who had to, you know, Georgia. A kid was at a small school. He told me how just, you know, coming up in a small school and then trying to find his way, footing at Georgia, winning a starting job, ended up leaving there, coming here, finding another starting job. So this is a kid who's got confidence. He's got to find his way. But to go out there and shut out Arizona State and play the best ball he can in week two after getting a reemergence as a starter, it would just go a million, you know, such a boost for this team, for him, and this secondary. So really intrigued to see how that shakes out. I think everybody's pick is really smart. Obviously, Marcel Reed needs to come out there and ball. If he's going to be who we think we are, and Ruben Owens, it goes without saying. This is a kid who all camp, the bullseye's been on him about trying to take that next step. So really intrigued to see how it all shakes out. Before we get you out of here, because we only got a couple more minutes, I want to talk about how we think this game's going to shake out. Now, we're going to have our score predictions come out on Friday, so you don't got to give us a number. But, Cade, I'll start with you. How do you see this game shaking out? Where do you think it falls?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a closer game than last week. I think you might see Arizona State get some points on the board. Hopefully not, but I think you will ultimately see them get some points on the board. I think it's going to be a a two-score game. I'm not going to give away my exact score prediction, but I think it's going to be a two-score game, and I expect Texas A&M to come out and handle business. I think Kyle Field with the entire 9/11, red, white, and blue situation, I think it's going to be firing. You know, it's going to be hot out there, 100%. It's going to be hot. It's going to be hard. But, you know, the Texas A&M players, and we know this because we went to fall camp, they've been practicing at this time slot for a month now. So it's never going to be easy to go out in that heat. It's always going to be hard, but they've done it, you know. And I know it's hot in Arizona as well, but dry heat is a little different than humidity. So I think that aspect, as well as Kyle Field, is going to play a huge factor to boost A&M. I think their defense is going to have a great performance like they did last week. I think that's going to be a theme that we see throughout the season. And ultimately, I think you see Texas A&M get it done, get a win, get a dub in the win column, and ultimately move on to Kentucky next week.
Yeah, it's a great point about two of those, right? I think the heat situation is real because, yeah, Arizona Sun Devils, like, they know about the heat. It's a different level of heat. And I can tell you, as somebody who did not grow up in this, this stuff is thick. This stuff is different. It is hot. It is steamy. And I don't know if I'll ever get used to it. I don't know if anybody ever can get used to it. And to your point, the red, white, and blue game, the stadium is sick. How they're doing the red with the blue and the white in the middle and potentially with the helmets with the color, you know, with the red, white, and blue on it. Who knows? That will come out Thursday at 5 p.m. Central. But this is just an atmosphere that's setting up to be an all-timer, in my opinion, right? Like, this is, I mean, you're talking about all the reasons in the world for A&M to come out there and fly out and play their best game. We know how much this type of stuff, the military and USA, really matters to Marcus Radcliffe. How about my man going and get an interception this week, right? Like, let's see. I think that'd be a perfect story, kind of storybook type thing. So before I give my prediction, actually, no, I'll just do it real quick. I'm with you. I think that they're going to find a way to win by, you know, two scores. I think A&M is the better football team. I think they'll lean on them. I think 50-0, somehow people are being disrespectful towards it. I think they'll go out there and leave absolutely no doubt this week. Again, taking no credit away from Arizona State and the talent they got, I just think A&M is a top 10 team and they'll play like it. Jackson, where do you fall on this? I have a feeling that I understand where you're going to be, but how's it shake out?
Yeah, I'm going double digit win for A&M. I think special teams are going to play a factor in this game. And I really liked how A&M's special team unit looked last week. But I think that A&M is going to be able to establish the run in this game, and you're going to be able to see that finally. And I think that's going to be very helpful for not only just fans, but for the team going forward down the road. And I think you're going to see explosive passing plays that, you know, we saw a little bit of it last week, but I think you're really going to see the playbook open up this week offensively and defensively. I think those defensive ends are going to get after some tackles who are a little bit fresh as far as that Arizona State offensive line goes.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously I talked about how I think this is going to be a good game. Shout out to Arizona State fans online. It seems like a fan base that's got a lot of energy. Hopefully we'll see how that travels. But I'm interested to see how it shakes out. And obviously we'll talk about it next week, and we'll have a ton of written content. We're going to have a post-game story or a post-game video. I just realized Jackson's going to be with us post-game on the field. Kyle, the three of us, instant reaction. Soon as the game's over, soon as the press conference is over, going to be live from Kyle Field, the three of us. I'm excited about that. But guys, like I said, Gig'em, 50% off. You missed the 75%, but that's okay. We're still going to take care of you. 50% off. Come join us. Subscribe now. Like all this. Blow up the YouTube. This is something that we really want to continue to have a lot of energy. It's been getting a lot of good responses. So from Tony Catalina, Kadron, Jackson DePasquale, it's another episode of Gig'em Roundtable. We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
I love my phone, but not my carrier. What do I do?
Well, there are 250 reasons to join T-Mobile.
Like what?
You can keep your phone and your number, and T-Mobile helps pay it off. Up to $800 per line.
So I wouldn't have to buy a new phone.
Yep. Plus, your plan price stays the same for 5 years on experience plans.
Nice.
Find your reason at T-Mobile.com.
Via virtual prepaid card. Card typically takes 15 days after rebate submission. Price guarantee on talk, text, and 5G data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply.